off and running, and thank you for being here. It's an honor to me, folks, that you three are still showing up. You know, we had four and five at times and six, but, you know, it seemed like we done lost another one. I don't know what's going on with him, but, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, I'm just going to keep going what I'm doing right now. So I'm glad that you're here, because this is another message that I've been thinking about a lot, you know, because I wrote three of these in advance because there was a lot weighing on my mind. There was a lot on my heart, and a lot of things I've been seeing on television lately, a lot of things I've been seeing on the news. And I'm sure y'all have seen the recent events that transpired in New York, how they changed, they voted in that law to allow babies to be aborted right up to the ninth month, which is appalling to me. Sickening that, you know, when you saw all those people clapping, you know, and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking about, whoa, a den of thieves bringing in an era of evil. You know, it was just horrible, you know, and I mean, and I've been giving a lot of thought to, you know, some of the scriptures, like, you know, a wicked and viperish generation, and I think we're seeing this more pronounced. So that's why we need, in a way, to arm ourselves against what is going on in this world, how the world is changing its views on Christianity, conforming Christianity to their ways. And something I was talking to a person the other day, many are wanting Jesus, but they want Jesus to their standards, not his. You know, so when you start presenting the gospel where the gospel is supposed to be, they quite don't like that. No. I want that Jesus, but I don't want, you know, what he's telling us we got to do. So it's starting to be sad, folks. It really is. And I think, you know, to me, you know, everybody's been saying, you know, we are in the last days, you know, we are in times, you know, I mean, we just don't know, but I think we're getting close, to be honest. I really do. So, you know, to me, as of late, and as I said earlier, I find myself shaking my head a lot of times when I come across something in the news or on TV or whatever that basically says that because everyone seems to be doing it or saying or believing something, that it's okay or true. And I mean, I'm just like, wow, really? And I just kind of hang my head down, you know. And folks, you know, because of that, you know, if you think about it, you and I, we, all of us are bombarded with messages telling us that traditional ways of thinking, especially ways of thinking based on the Bible, are outdated, out of sync with society, and even downright dangerous. Now, you get that, you know, and I'm sure that you may be encountering this, because I have, you know, in my ministry and people I've been talking to, many people are really now saying, hey, you know, that Bible, it's outdated. It's out of sync with society. And it's even dangerous because y'all trying to put people under a cult. You're trying to do mind control over them. You're trying to scare them out of hell and scare them into heaven. You know, you shouldn't be. Well, you know what, folks? I told someone the other day, you bet your boots I should be scaring you out of hell, because you know what? I forgot the gentleman's name, but he said this in church. He said, in reality, if God will allow people just to stand at the gates of hell, to glimpse in and hear, that would scare the hell out of them and want them to run to heaven. I guarantee it would. But you know, people today, as I said, nah, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with same-sex lifestyles. I'm okay with this. I'm okay with that. Oh, I love God. I'm going to heaven. You know, I heard one guy, you know, talking about his gay boyfriend. You know, he's the wife, and you know, he was the husband. You know, and I'm like, you know, and God's so good to me. You know, we're gonna be together in heaven. I'm like, wow, really? Seriously? I'm sorry, but I don't know what Bible you've been reading, my friend, but the Bible that I'm reading from says not so. Says not so. And that's why I'm saying they're wanting the gospel, but they're not wanting what Jesus has to offer. So when we think about this, how do we combat these ideas of the world? How do we recognize the falsehoods of these beliefs, and how do we discuss them with those who disagree with us? How do we do that? How do we handle that? How do we equip ourselves and even our children to face these things in a way that promotes truth and enables us and our kids to stand firm when we confront it with error? How do we do that? See, I don't know that I'll be able to answer every question. I really don't. You know, people ask me questions. I tell them a lot of times, you know what? I'm not sure how to answer that. And people always ask me questions online. I'm not sure I have time how to answer that. But I do want us in this message to look at some things that I believe that will help us as we look to bring the truth of Christ to those around us. And God, I believe the answers lies in short passages in the book of Colossians we're fixing to read. It's going to be chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And this is why I look at this and I said, God, I believe the answers are in this short passage right here, what I read through when I was preparing the sermon. So we're going to go to chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 in Colossians, and start with verse 6. And pay attention to this, you know, that's why I say I love when I study the Word. And it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted up and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we ask of you, Father, meet with us for this little time. And I want to thank you for these kind folks that showed up here tonight. You know, we look at things, and I look at things, and I know it's not about numbers, then, you know, and I'm just wondering, is this ministry really, you know, doing any good out there in the world? You know, at one point, you know, I felt we were doing something, but it's just, you know, I just don't know why we struggled all the time. I guess maybe we had to hang true to the faith, and we planted the seed as much as we could. And I know, Father, I tried the best I could, and everyone else tried the best they could, and it just seemed like nobody's really, you know, getting into this anymore because they're chasing other things. And maybe, you know, this is the writing on the wall. Maybe we're going to be moved on to different areas, you know, because there's a time for everything. There's a season for everything. And maybe this is a season for another change. I don't know. But I'm going to ask you tonight to bless those who showed up here tonight. They could have been elsewhere. They could have been sitting at home watching TV, visiting friends, doing whatever they wanted to do. But yet, God, they took time to log into here just to hear this message. And I appreciate that. I thank you for allowing those folks to join here. So I ask of you to anoint them and bless them. And Father, for those who quit showing up, those who just don't want to have the time to log in anymore, I don't know what's going on with them. Only you can, and the only thing I can do is ask of you to just, you know, deal with them and put it on their hearts and I don't know, just do whatever you got to do, you know. So again, I ask you just give us this little time to gather together and help me present this message that was laid on my heart by you. Sometimes it does speak to me, and I'll re-listen to these messages and I'll reread them, and I get more out of it. So, you know, I hope these folks that show up here each and every Friday night are getting something out of it. So, again, I'm going to keep trying as long as the few keep showing up, because I want to try to remain faithful to you until you say otherwise no more. So thank you. We love you. We praise you and glorify you. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. And I grab me a little cup of water. Good high quality H2O. But anyway, folks, as I was saying and thinking many things, you know, and each of us, I think, are really encountering a lot where we got a different Jesus out there in that world. And we also, I think, are encountering many issues that we're facing in that world out there. So this is why I titled this message, friends, that we should understand how to be avoiding the captivity of your mind. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but there are things out there that can captivate your mind if you allow it to. Now, some might be saying, oh, I'm a super Christian. There ain't no way, there ain't nothing that can or nothing that will captivate my mind. Let me tell you something. Don't say that. Don't say it, because I've been born again for the last, well, going on 16 years now. And yes, there have been things that have captivated my mind, which seems like to me, wow, you know, they added some truth to it, but it's wrapped up with a lot of lies, but yet it captivated me and thinking, wow, you know, that's got to be true because everyone else is saying it. Everyone else is doing it. It's the greatest rave, you know, they, you know, this and that, you know, got reviews, and, you know, and I'm getting pulled into it, and then I had to realize the Holy Spirit got to say, Son, you're allowing that stuff to take captive your mind. Stick to the truth. That's what Jesus came here for. This is what he was born for. He came to proclaim the truth to us. You know, and I can get into many things about the truth because, like I said, I'm pumped up by the Truth Project. But tonight, my friends, we're going to look at the last verse of the passage we just read and finish by looking at the two verses ahead of the last. So we're going to start with the last and finish with the two verses ahead of that. So let's first talk about philosophy and the world mentioned in verse 8. See, the word philosophy here just means a mindset or way of thinking. And we're not thinking necessary about something you have to have a PhD to understand or discuss. You don't have to have that. Everyone has a philosophy about life, even if they can't describe it. Okay? Now, here are some funny philosophies that I kind of picked up to add into this message because I like to use illustrations. But these are some funny philosophies that some in this world have said. Listen to this one. To me, boxing is like a ballet, except there's no music, no choreography, and the dancers hit each other. Okay. How about this one? It takes a big man to cry, but it takes a bigger man to laugh at the man. Now, I didn't quite get that one. I just don't understand that one. But here's another one. There's more to life than finding the closest parking spot. I forgot who quoted that, but I looked at that like, huh? You know, and they had that in a philosophy. I don't know where I got it, somewhere off the internet, but, you know, there's more to life than finding the closest parking spot? Okay. Well, anyway, that was just a few I threw out there. But the Apostle Paul, he describes the philosophy of the world in four ways. It's hollow. It's deceptive. It depends on human tradition, and it depends on the basic principles of this world. Now, that's something to think about. See, in other words, the mindset of the world has no substance. It lies, and it depends on the idea that humans are the center of existence. Man's ideas of what is truth and what is good change all the time. They change like they got leopard spots, if you want to say it like that. But man's philosophy is constantly changing of what man should be. They're even doing the same with the Bible, with scriptures. They are constantly changing. And I always keep reminding people, folks, look, God does not change, ever. Scriptures affirm that. God himself says, I do not change today, and I'm kind of paraphrasing a bit, but I do not change today, nor yesterday, nor tomorrow. He's always the same. We, the society, us human beings, we are the ones that is changing. And people used to believe that truth was objective and absolute. They used to believe in the Bible at one time like that. You know, you go way back what we call the glory days in the 40s and 50s and early 60s. Man, Christianity was strong. They believed the truth was objective and absolute. In other words, truth could be known and believed because it was true in every circumstance. But now let's fast forward to today's time. Now, people believe that truth is relative. It might be true for you, but not for me. And there is no such thing as absolute truth. Now, if you ever went through the Truth Project, you know, they call that a pernicious lie. Society is trying to change everybody's viewpoint of what truth really is. But when mankind is the decider of what is true and what is good and what is right, then those standards of truth and right will change with society. And I think I can safely guarantee that as we continue to the time when Jesus returns, those standards will only continue to go up. Those standards will only continue to go down and not up. As I just said, prime example, look what New York City did. I'm just still set back because, again, they passed such laws that it is illegal to destroy turtle eggs, and you can get almost 10 years in a federal prison for doing that. But now they're okay with killing a baby, murdering. You know, also in that same state, they cannot give lethal injection to death row inmates that's been condemned to death, but they're killing babies. Yet someone locally in this area killed a council member, a drunk driver, served on 17 days in jail, but some guy kills a neighbor's cat and gets 3 years in prison. Something's going on with us, folks. You see, society has become captivated by their own truth, their moral standards, their beliefs, their ways. Yes, and they talk a lot about God, but it's not the God of the Bible that we know. It's another God, another Jesus. And folks, take this as a warning. And if you are not careful, you can be taken captive by these things. And that's just plain dangerous. But this passage of scriptures also tells us that we can avoid being taken captive. We can. So let's look back at verse 6 and 7. Let's go back to those two verses. And verse 6 says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Now, the key to avoiding the captivity of your mind, folks, is found in Christ. Living in him, being rooted and built up in him, strengthen in your faith in him. That is the key to having a strong Christian life. Folks, when you stay into the Word, you study the Word, and you stay rooted into the Word, you are able to discern what is truth and what is not. Why? Again, because Christ, my friends, is truth. He said this in John chapter 14, verse 6. He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And notice this. Listen to those words. It's not saying not a truth, but the truth, the only truth. But yet, society and the world has twisted that truth around. They're using scriptures, but they're twisting it around to their Jesus, their ways. Like I said, they want what Jesus has in the gospel, but they don't want Jesus himself. That's some heavy-duty thinking. It really is. And I mentioned that the world's ideas of what's true and right really change over time. We're seeing it. I just turned 58 this year. I remember when I was a little young kid, but you know, I reflect back on my life, and I'm sure that you can too, from the time you were small to the time you are now. You can see times change. Society's changed. The world's changing. And back in my early, young, youthful days, I used to see how strong Christianity was. But now today, I see how weak that is getting. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the power of God is weak. No. But what I'm saying, people has got captivated by these pernicious lies of this world and got caught up in it. And they're taking the real truth of what the Bible really is and pushed it to the back burner. You see, folks, as I just told you, God himself doesn't change with the times. He doesn't change with the winds of political correctness, as we hear. You got to be politically correct. Or I call it the PC nation. Folks, God is truth. He is truth. He is always the truth. And he will always be the truth from here on out. Wow. Okay. So let's think about this. How do we avoid being taken captive by the world's mindset? How do we avoid that? I'm sure you probably got some things running around your head thinking, well, how do I avoid that? I mean, I don't know. But we all do. So let me suggest to you tonight three actions you can take to develop what I call a biblical mindset. And this is what I've been doing a lot lately, and I've been trying to teach others the same way. You don't have to do it because I said so, but this is something I found that works. So these are three actions that you can do to develop a good biblical mindset. The first one is develop and strengthen your own convictions regarding. Now, I paused it for a reason. I left it like that because you say, regarding what? I think by you being under the influence of the Holy Spirit and studying the scriptures, you can understand what that means. How you can strengthen your own convictions regarding what's going on. And by the way, folks, I'm talking about convictions. That's right. That sometimes is, to me, you know, I heard many people label that, oh, that's a bad word. You shouldn't preach that. You shouldn't teach that. You shouldn't be convicted. God is a God of love. God is not a God who convicts us. Oh, really? What banana tree you been sitting under? Folks, I'm talking about plain and simple convictions, not opinions. Everybody out there has an opinion. Convictions are those things you can hang on to that define who you are and what you believe. Opinions can change as easily as the winds, and we're seeing it every day. But when I'm talking about real convictions, and I've been hitting the word a lot of truth because I've been studying for our project. A lot of truth is, one of them is the sword of the truth, God's words. That's true. Better yet, of strengthening your convictions, how about we submit ourselves to the Spirit of truth? Now, I'm not trying to condemn, convict, or make anybody feel bad. I you know what? I do that a lot, but you know what? I do that because I'm passionate about it. Because I'm doing these things for a reason. Because, again, I'm trying to get people to understand what it really means to return to holiness. Of how we, as followers of Jesus Christ, should be. And this is why I'm always trying and praying to God, God, help me strengthen my convictions regarding whatever. Because if I'm doing something that is not right, if I'm not doing something that's in accordance to God's will, if I'm not pleasing Him, I need to be convicted about it so that way it can grab my attention and tell me, Jim, you better change, son. You better change the way you're talking. You better change the way you're walking. You better change the way you're thinking. You better quit listening to that, quit doing this, and quit doing that. And you need to start returning to holy and follow me for what I am. Because, again, you're allowing yourself to be captivated by those things of the world. And if you don't stop it, you're going to find yourself in trouble. And this is why I see so many Christians get in trouble. They read the word, and they get slightly convicted about it. But, That really don't apply to me. And they convince themselves, it's okay that I can do this. And they become complacent with that. Because again, that has really taken mindset. It really captivated their minds because they have really put it into their brain, it's not that bad. It's not that bad watching an R-rated movie. It's not that bad saying a few curse words. It's not that bad to be drinking. It's not that bad to be gambling. Yeah, nah. I mean, there's far worse sins out there. No, folks, you need to strengthen your own convictions regarding whatever it may be. The second action to develop a good biblical mindset, and this is very important, folks, know absolute truth. No absolute truth. Absolute truth is defined as inflexible reality, fixed in invariable, unalterable facts. For an example, it is a fixed, invariable, unalterable fact that there are absolutely no square circles. And there are absolutely no round squares. Opinion polls and majority rules don't determine truth. The truth is truth regardless of who believes it. It is absolute truth that the pulpit I am preaching from is made of wood and not water. You see, folks, what I'm saying with this? It is absolute truth that the pulpit that I'm standing in front of right now, I'm preaching from to you, is made of wood and not water. I don't have a video camera, but yes, I do have a little what I call a portable pulpit stand, and it is made out of wood. And when you see it, and you know it, you touch it, it's absolute truth. It's not an opinion. Oh, I don't think that's wood. That's water. See, the world wants you to start thinking that way because, again, come on, you don't really seriously take everything in the Bible seriously, do you? It really does not apply to you no more these days. That was of ancient times. Wow. That's why I said, folks, absolute truth exists. And you need to develop and strengthen your convictions about that. You also need to develop and strengthen convictions about the reliability and trustworthiness of the Scriptures. Folks, are you convicted to the core of your being that the Scriptures are true and accurate? Are you? I challenge you to go examine yourselves tonight, but not tonight, but here on out. Challenge yourself. Are you convicted that the core of your being, that the scriptures are really true 100%? If not, you need to work on that. There should be no doubts in none of our minds. None. Because if the scriptures are not true and accurate, then you and I, my friends, has no hope for heaven. None. If they're not true and accurate, then friends, then the God that you and I worship is nothing but a lie. And you also need to develop and strengthen your convictions regarding Jesus Christ. Who he was, what he did and said, his death and physical resurrection, and his coming again as a judge. See what I said in that last part? He's coming again as a judge. Well, he's going to judge everyone. Mark my word. And you better hope that you are 100% that you will be there, but yet you still are going to have to stand before him, and you will be judged by him. It scares me a lot because a lot of things I've said and done in the past, I'm like, oh no, really? I shouldn't have done a lot of things that I've done, but I did, and it can't be taken back. So I don't know what kind of judgment I'm going to receive. It kind of frightens me just to think about how rough it may be. I don't know what to expect. I really don't. So that's why, friends, when you start thinking that way, that's why we gain those convictions from scriptures, which are the primary source of information about our Lord and Savior. And yes, people have all sorts of weird ideas about who Jesus is, including the idea that he spent a number of years learning how to become the Christ by going to various shamans in places like Tibet, and others believe that Jesus and Satan were even brothers. I have a feeling that if someone said Jesus was actually reincarnated in Oprah, seriously, I actually have a feeling. If someone actually said, oh, Jesus is reincarnated in Oprah, people would believe it. Especially if she said so on public television and then wrote a book about it. You recall one book she wrote, 50 Ways to Get into Heaven. Not just one. Oh, no, we're getting rid of John 14:6. I am the truth, the way, and the life, that no one can come to the Father except through me. Let's get rid of that. But there are 50 ways you can get into heaven. I never looked at the book, but you know, maybe one of them I think, be nice to a dog and you can get into heaven. Walk an old lady across the street and you can get into heaven. Feed someone on the street, boy, you can get into heaven. That's all you got to do. Don't worry about it. You know, you got, what, I mentioned three, so I got 47 more ways to get into heaven. Okay, I'm cool. Come on, folks. If scriptures are true, and to me they are, then my friends, Jesus is true. And if Jesus is true, then we need to worship and obey him in every area of our lives. If for no other reason than gratitude for his sacrifice and resurrection on our behalf. In order to avoid the captivity of your mind, you also need to become firmly grounded in scriptures. You need to be deeply rooted in scriptures. And this is how we find out about God and what he requires of us. This is where we gain guidance and wisdom. This is where we find assurance of our salvation in Christ. and the many promises God has for those who love and serve Him. It is also how we can filter out the false teachings and philosophies of this world. And the third way that we can train ourselves for good biblical doctrine is how to avoid the captivity of your mind. If you don't put the first two into practice, put this one into practice. Learn how to avoid the captivity of your mind. Your mind can play many tricks on you. Your mind can let you go down many paths if you let it to. It can happen. So, how do we do this? Let's just bear down. How do we do this? Simple. We learn to recognize and refute worldly philosophies and thinking. That's it. We learn to refute worldly philosophies and thinking. If you are grounded in scriptures and the notions of absolute truth, you will learn to spot error in how the world thinks. And you will know why it is wrong right away. Like I said, if you are deeply grounded into the Word of God, bam, right away you're going to know the truth. And you're going to spot the error real fast. Now, I'm saying this for a reason, because I have dealt with many people that came into this chat room. I have dealt with many people in my real life ministries. And many people that I have encountered, many Christians, that's been Christians for 10 plus years, are struggling badly, falling into sin all the time, cannot get victory. And they ask for Jim, why? Why? Why can't I get over this? Why? Most of the times I want to say, because you're an idiot. You're not believing what God is telling you. That's your problem. But sadly, it is. They're not believing absolute truth in the Word of God. And they allow their minds to take captive of their thoughts. They allow their thoughts to take captive of the mind. They allow things of the world to take them captivity. What did Jesus also say? That he came to free those held in captivity, to take the captives free. And yet I see so many of them, and my heart hurts when I try to talk to them day after day after day. And some of them I've been talking to for the last 7 years are still being held captive of the things of the world, and they're not getting the victory because they refuse to believe into the Word of God and take it as truth. They're not spotting the errors. They're not even really putting into their mind to have moral and ethical convictions. One Christian I knew claimed to be a follower of Christ is selling class 3 prescription drugs online to other people to make money. And don't feel bad about it. Wow, really? You see, folks, that is crucial, by the way. It's not enough to just to be able to say, oh, that's wrong. Oh, that's wrong. That's wrong. No, you need to be able to say why it is wrong with biblical facts. And this is why, again, I'm trying so much to teach people in church biblical facts. Not because they've been doing things so long by traditional ways, by whoever taught them in 1970 and 60s and the 50s and whatever. I mean, you know, a lot of people got captivated by traditional ways in church. They have lost the way to real biblical truth. And when you try to present the truth, some and many get offended by that. You We need to learn to say why it is wrong with biblical facts. We as Christians need to stand up and holler at New York City and say, look, it is wrong. It is an abomination. You are committing murder. You will suffer the wrath of God for allowing that to happen. And many of them that voted on that law, folks, be honest, they have allowed themselves to become captive by the people that put them into office. A fellow asked me a question once, and I said, Jim, I don't understand it. Many of these so-called elected officials that claim to be Christians, but yet they're not standing up for Christianity. I said, you know why? Because they're allowing the people that put them in office to dictate what they do instead of standing true through truth in the Word of God. That's why. Again, as I said earlier, if they can seriously say, oh, it's okay, you know, even if you got up to the ninth month, I want this baby boy to kill it. It's not life. It's not life. I saw something on Facebook today. They claim that they can find a bacteria amoeba on Mars and call it life, but yet a baby with a heartbeat is not? Oh, good grief. Folks, you need to be able to say why it is wrong with biblical facts. And along with that, you need to learn how to discuss and debate the issues in a calm manner. And sometimes many Christians don't even learn how to do that. Because the Bible clearly says that the Lord's servant must not quarrel, but be able to teach gently, instructing those who oppose you. Fred, you just encountered that this week, didn't you? You try to teach somebody some biblical truth, and look what happened. Look what happened. You see what I'm getting at? They have allowed their minds to be captivated by unbiblical truths. Folks, we need to understand and do it in a calm, biblical way, instructing those people who oppose us. See, John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, he said, what will it profit a man if he gains his cause and silence his adversary? If at the same time he loses that humble, tender frame of spirit in which the Lord delights. In other words, folks, what he is trying to tell us right there, we need to learn how to be humble. We need to be in that tender frame of spirit, and we need to let the Word of God convict. Yep, many are being held captive by worldly views, opinions, and different ways Scriptures is presented. And I think, folks, we need more people who are willing to become equipped to do this last thing. Why? Very simple. The world is full of those who oppose the truth of Scriptures and Christ. And we don't have nearly enough people who are capable of having an intelligent conversation with someone about those things. We don't have enough people out there to do that. And all these things depend on your willingness to do something that takes intentional work and effort. Think about it. We need to do things that really takes intentional work and effort on our parts. We need to learn to think. Learn to look at things and examine them just before accepting them. Just because someone might quote, thus saith the Lord, don't take it for face value. Just because someone says, that was Old Testament ways, it no longer applies. Don't take it for face value. Just because someone says, that was ancient, times has changed. Don't take it for face value. Learn how to debate them and discuss with them. Learn how to do so. Learn how to show love to those who disagree. Now, another thing I do want to add to this, when you learn how to do these things, do what Jesus did. If you notice, a lot of times when he was teaching from We call it from town to town, city to city, whatever you want to call it, village to village. You notice what he did a lot? He presented the truth. He put the truth out there. Then he moved on. He didn't have time to say, hang out. Please, please, please come to me. Please, please, please surrender. Please, you need to give yourself up. You're going to hell. Please, please, please. You know what? No. You need to learn how to debate and discuss them as he showed us how to do it. Present the gospel to them and love those who disagree with you, then after that, move on. And like I said, my man Fred and Kurt, he encountered that. I encountered that a lot. I'm not trying to prove a point to no one, but someone asked me something about scriptures or losing their salvation or this and that, whatever. I tell them, look, I'm sorry, but you got into some messed up teaching because that is not true, because according to the word says this, and they get mad and upset with so-and-so said, no, you can't. This does happen. I used to tell them, well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but no, it doesn't. That's not true. That's not what the Word of God says. Friend, open your eyes and see the Scriptures. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And many will get so mad and upset, and they'll leave you, and they'll befriend you, and do whatever they got to do to you. I want nothing of you no more. And folks, in 8 years of me encountering this in this chat room has killed my heart more times than I can think. Most times, I almost lost heart. Sad and slept restless nights thinking about those people I encountered in this room. I was trying to tell them the truth, and they didn't want to accept it because so-and-so said it. They said that's the way it was interpreted. And it kills me. They're misguided. They're misled. So at the end of your note-taking guide that I have listed some resources to help you with understanding why scriptures can be trusted. And in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. I know it's a little bit long-winded, but again, I thought about a lot of these things in this message. We need to be people who aren't sucked in by everything that comes down the pike that sounds good or looks religious. We've got to be careful about that. And I mentioned to many of my Christian friends in the past that one of the dangers abounding in today is that there is so much out there that contains a little bit of truth but is filled with error. People are so gullible, and Christians can be just as gullible as everyone else. If you don't believe me, friends, look, just look at your email box sometimes. Look at the forwards that you get that mention the name of Jesus and angels and whatever, and some that promises a blessing that, hey, if you forward this to 10 people in the next 10 minutes or try to lay a guilt trip on you for not forwarding it. Folks, that's not true. That's not the way you present the gospel. And by the way, look, if you send those to me, I'm going to tell you straight up, they automatically get deleted, and oftentimes without being read. Anyway, how many Christians will forward that on because they think, oh, if I don't forward this, oh, God's going to punish me because if I don't, I got to get these 10 emails out. God, I don't want to break that chain ladder. Oh, it's a Christian thing. Oh, he's going to withhold some blessings from me if I don't. Oh, he's going to rob them of some blessings. You see what's happening? You have become captivated by that email thing or that chain ladder thing or that prayer cloth or whatever it is, and you get so wrapped up in it. Go to the truth, the Word of God. Go! You see, I can go on and on about the stuff that I get all the time. It's like, oh, we got to make a petition to make sure it's not illegal to mention God on TV. Or how In God We Trust is being removed from our money. Oh, you got to sign this petition. You got to support it. Man, every time I see that stuff on Facebook, you got to support this, you got to support that. Let's repost. Y'all have lost the main focus. You became captivated by all those things. You should be captivated by the Word of God presenting the gospel to those folks, not those crazy reposts and chain letters. Man, those things seem relatively harmless. But if people are falling for that kind of stuff, oh my goodness, what's going to happen when they are truly confronted with error about Christ in scriptures? What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to them? They believe it, and it can put their very soul in danger. You can put yourself in danger if you believe that kind of malarkey. And last but not least, my friends, we need to be people who aren't swept away by the world's thinking. We, you and I, need to be people who are not taken captive by the hollow and deceptive philosophies of the world. I'll leave y'all with this. Commit today to being intentional about being rooted and built up in Christ. And stand on absolute truth. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing me to stand here before these kind folks to present this message. At least they showed up to hear, and I hope they think about it a lot. You know I'm slacking a little bit and trying to get these recordings online so others can start listening to it. I know I'm going to get to them, but Father, just again, thank you for allowing me to have this message. It speaks to me even when I keep looking at these notes and keep listening to myself presenting this message. There's still some room for improvements in me. We're all not perfect by a long shot. We all fall short of the glory of God. But Father, I'm asking you right now to empower me, to strengthen me, to encourage me, to lift me up. Help me and those folks here tonight not to be taken captive by misguided teachings and misguided scriptures and misguided ways and things of the world that sounds good and sounds true. Help us with that discernment to understand real truth. And if we need to learn to understand, the word is there for us to understand. And this is what we need to do. So, Father, I thank you. I love you. I praise you. Thank you for giving me the blessings. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for allowing me to have a place to sleep, a roof over my head, and food to eat tonight. And, Father, I ask of you to help those who are less fortunate out there. Let them receive help. Bless those who are here tonight. Take care of them and watch over them. And Father, we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen.